Birth, Chapter 4. Dr. Loretta Wesson was just like her engineer father. Oh, she was a daddy's girl, but her favorite subject was geology. Shortly after her mother passed away, while Loretta was only 9, there was an earthquake in the valley where they lived. It seemed like it lasted for a minute or two, but probably it was much shorter than that. At first, it was frightening, because there was nowhere to go to get away from it, unless you could jump up in the air and stay there. But there was nothing you could do but wait it out. Her heart raced for hours after the quake. There were aftershocks for days. She was hooked for life. She had to know what caused them, how to predict them, and whether other planets had them as well. When the U.S. Geological Survey read her thesis, they were fascinated with her theories and advanced her a grant to work at Caltech to help her with her studies. Caltech was not so excited about the prospect. A new theory of planetary core geology that was radical could possibly embarrass the institution. They expressed caution. Perhaps they would talk to Dr. Russell, the Dean of Geology. Stan Russell had always had a crush on Loretta. But he was overweight, and she really didn't smile at him the right way. He grew a beard to kind of cover up his fat neck, but it came in red. He kept it. It made him feel more secure, because Loretta couldn't see his skin. He was incredibly smart and well-published, but his aversion to being touched or to have someone see him, or really just to see his skin, made him avoid crowds. Usually it wasn't a problem. Geology wasn't a crowd sport. He could write papers, and his peers would approve of his armchair methods because most of them were just rock doctors anyway. They dug with hand shovels or drills, but they really didn't know better than anyone else how the planet was constructed on the inside. And to have an associate professor, even if it was at Caltech, introduce a new theory might be a little too much, too risky. People would stare in their direction. So Stan, he liked her to call him Stan, would be nice and smile under his auto-darkening thick glasses and through his red beard, and perhaps next year the Board of Regents would approve her full professorship. He would fold his hands together at the end of his long sleeves, always snapped at the cuff, never rolled up. He would glance away. Even though his thick glasses made it impossible to see his eyes, because the energy of her connecting with his eyes was like being naked, it scared the hell out of him. Loretta was jogging, as she always did in the cool California mornings. She had no class load before noon and rarely made the office before 10 a.m. She had great grad students who could answer any textbook problems or help students with research in the physical chemistry lab. There was a slight San Gabriel fog on the sidewalks that morning as she made her way along the divided road near her house in San Marino. The road was divided by a wide center island that was grassy with maple trees groomed along the way. The grass was soft and spongy, making it easy on the knees, and the cars were far enough away on either side to keep it safe. San Marino was a very safe neighborhood. It is only a couple of retail locations in the small city of mostly millionaires. They didn't want anyone from outside coming to San Marino to shop for anything, so the prices were about 10% to 20% higher than in Pasadena or San Gabriel. It worked. Locals, mostly. She wore a jogging suit rather than sweats. It wouldn't be appropriate in this neighborhood for sweats. Runners keep their heads down, mostly. The ritzy neighbors walk their ritzy dogs on the same grass strip. Her cell phone rang. Normally, she would never take a call while she was jogging, but something told her to at least look to see who it was. Could be an emergency. Dad was getting older. Bet, I told her not to. Hello? Bet, I told you I... Dr. Wesson, she interrupted. She never called her Dr. Wesson unless it was in public. There are some men here to see you. Bet used her male staccato voice. "Well, take a message," she said with a slight puff to her voice. "I'm running, and I won't be there for at least an hour. Have Rhino..." "No, no, these guys say they're from the Secret Service." They say they work for the president, and they want to talk to you. I think it's bullshit, but honestly, they look like the real deal. The Secret Service? What the hell could... Okay, I'm turning down my street. I'll do a quickie and be there in 30. Hold tight. Right on. Bette dropped her cell phone into the right pocket of her jeans and opened the door from Loretta's office into the geology office waiting area. Smith and Jones were still there, still standing at nearly attention. Smith and Jones, like, those names are real. Seriously, tell the truth, Bette said. They both reached for their badges and held them out for Bette to see. Well, damn, she said, stretching the last word out like a southern redneck. Dr. Wesson said she'll be here in 30. Can we get you something to drink? No, ma'am. We're fine, said Jones. Ma'am? Jesus, Joe Friday, my mother was ma'am. I am Bette Dyson. Just call me Bette. Okay, Bette, Smith quipped. Listen, we are kind of in a hurry. Our ride is outside, taking up a few parking spaces. Is there any way you can cool your jets, cowboy? Bette stepped forward, ready to get physical. She pointed her finger at Smith's chest and nearly poked him with it. He didn't change his expression at all. Motionless. You come in here with this bullshit Secret Service story, which I still don't buy, and make these demands. Are we under arrest or something? 'Cause if we're not, then you shut the hell up and wait. You're not under arrest, said Jones. There is an emergency for which Dr. Wesson is uniquely qualified to help the president. Help the president? Asked Rhino. What do you mean, help the president? He needs my help. I'm suiting up. Put your helmet down, Rhino, said Bette. What kind of help? It would be best if we explain this to Dr. Wesson. I have a feeling we need to make room for three, said Smith. Yes, sir, said Jones. He turned away, lifted his wrist to his mouth, and mumbled to the ears on the other end. Three, and some boxes of records. Copy that,